Good morning, everyone. My name is Amy Lemley. I'm with the John Burton Foundation, and this is the monthly call for THP Plus and THP Plus Foster Care. So thank you, as always, for making time for the call. We call it a call, even though it's technically a web seminar. We made this change about 4 or 5 months ago because of the large number of people who were on it was just making it challenging. But the value of the call has always been the interactivity. And so, you know, to make it as useful and practical and as applied as possible, we hope that you will either raise your virtual hands, which you can do on the control panel, or type in your questions, comments, thoughts, issues, and we will keep that interactive spirit alive. So again, this month's call, here's our agenda for today. We're going to start by briefly looking at THP Plus Foster Care. Sometimes our calls are more focused on THP Plus, sometimes more on THP Plus Foster Care. Today it's more on THP Plus, but we will briefly review the number of providers, which is very happily going up, 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 as all of you are working to submit your licensing paperwork to CCL, and as county representatives working with your providers to thread all that through the needle, so everyone is really doing a great job at moving the process forward. I know it's not an easy one, but I think the fact we are moving forward is a great sign. So let's look at where we are. So here we have some information about the number of providers. We're at 31 different providers in the state, and on our website we maintain a list of those providers, not just where they were licensed, like the regional office that licensed them, and not just the location of their headquarters, but also where their programs are physically located. And so some programs are operating in multiple counties, and some programs are really operating in one county. So in some ways, this 31 figure doesn't really represent the breadth of the program statewide. So we really encourage you, if you want to know what it's looking like statewide, to look at that list. And if you're a county who is, you know, comes at this from the point of view of potentially placement, there are THP Plus programs in a lot of different places or THP Plus foster care programs in a lot of different places around the state. And that is the reason why we organize it in that way, so that if you are a county and you want to place a young person in a particular county, you can know where these programs are physically located. So that's where we're at, and I know by the time we talk next month, this number will likely be higher. So keep up the great work getting those applications submitted. So now we're going to turn to the main topic of our call today, and this is really around THP Plus and realignment, and really bringing the conversation down to a much more applied level than we have in the past. Many of you on today's call have participated in discussions about realignment, what it is, what the rationale for it was, what the potential pros and cons of it are. And those are interesting conversations, but today we're going to really bring it down to THP Plus, to the county level, to the provider level, and hopefully provide you with some practical information you can use to think about THP Plus in your county. And when I say you, I really want to emphasize this is hopefully going to be a useful conversation for you as a representative of a provider, you as a representative of a county, or you as a broader stakeholder, such as an advocate or foster parent. A lot of different types of folks join this conversation, and so that's where we're at. Although our main topic, our main audience certainly is county representatives and providers. And so what are we going to try and get out of our conversation today? Understanding how realignment changed THP Plus, and then really from there diving quickly into the procedural requirement that was put into state law that is required to reduce THP Plus capacity. You know, we've referenced it briefly, we've said a little here and there, but today we're going to get into it. What does it say? What doesn't it say? Then our goal here is really to promote transparency at the county level about the baseline level of service that was established when realignment was enacted. You know, prior to realignment, the advocacy for THP Plus largely occurred at the state level. It was a state-funded program. The allocation was made on a state level. And as you all know, through realignment, that now all occurs on the county level. And so we have a new need for local county-level transparency. And so that's one of our goals today, is to promote a constructive, ongoing dialogue between local providers and local county administrators about this program and about the need for it or evolving, changing need for it in the context of THP Plus foster care and extended foster care generally. And then our last goal of the conversation is really to ensure that decisions around this program engage a range of stakeholders. And of course, that's obviously the public administrators and nonprofit providers, but it's also the larger youth community. And this is a really essential element that is one reason why this language was put into law, is to ensure that locally we're having very robust conversations about what this program is, who it serves, what the need is or isn't for it. So that's our goal today, and hopefully we will achieve that goal. So again, the basics of realignment, and this top portion of the slide, you know, you guys could probably quote this by heart, but it is important. We always have some new participants on the call, so we want to unpack this issue very slowly. You know, adopted by the legislature in 2011, and it directs a portion of the sales and use tax and the vehicle license fee to counties. And, you know, it really changes how we fund child welfare and foster care by eliminating the state's share of cost. Now, that was never an issue with THP Plus because it was funded with state-only dollars, but for other foster care programs where there was a state share of cost, it changed that, although there are a select number of programs where that continues. And then it gives counties this new flexibility, particularly over programs that were state-funded. And there's a lot of potential upside to that flexibility and downside. It really is a matter of your point of view, where you're positioned. But again, it's a conversation that has to happen locally. And that really was the intention of realignment, for more of this decision-making to be made locally. So for THP Plus, it eliminated any need for a county plan. So for those of you who go way back, you remember the old days when on February 1st of each year, every county submitted a plan to DSS. DSS used the information that you provided to develop budget estimates. And that county plan was a really awesome tool in our efforts to try and expand the budget, because all of you made an excellent case for how many young people were out there homeless in need of this service. But the county plan goes away under realignment. Also, what went away is the need to dedicate a portion of the realigned funding to the THP Plus foster care program. Again, for those of you who were involved in AB 12, you know, one of the compromises was, you know, 70% of the THP Plus budget had to go towards THP Plus foster care. So realignment took that language out. THP Plus foster care is now a regular placement, just like any other placement. It's not constrained by how much funding is available for THP Plus. And then lastly, it really, the big change is it said, you know, for these programs that are state-only funded, that we're giving you this flexibility, we're allowing you to use your allocated funds for THP Plus or not. You know, and again, in the old days, pre-realignment, you didn't have to implement THP Plus, but you weren't going to get a state allocation if you didn't. Now, the THP Plus funding has been distributed to all 58 counties, and those funds may be used for THP Plus or for another child welfare-related purpose. And again, that's local discretion. So those are big changes to THP Plus. So a really important provision in that process was a little bit of a check and balance. There was an interest amongst many, and I would count myself in that camp, that the process to change, specifically reduce or eliminate THP Plus, be one that really is made with the input of our community members. And again, that means a wide range of stakeholders. And so the legislature elected to put a requirement that before THP Plus could be reduced, certain kind of local county administrative procedural steps needed to be taken. So let's move to that portion of the conversation. So this is Senate Bill 1020, which is the big realignment bill, and the government code section is at the bottom of it. And here's what we have. So it essentially, the legislature said, you've got the flexibility, you've got the funding. Do with it what you think is appropriate for your county based on your local knowledge. And again, this is what a lot of people like about realignment. It does give that local discretion making. But it does say that if a county chooses to eliminate or significantly reduce the level or type of service, this decision may only be made in an open session as an action item at a duly noticed meeting of the Board of Supervisors. And then you see below that what is defined as a significant reduction. And a significant reduction is a 10% reduction in funding in 1 year, or a cumulative 25% reduction over the three previous years. And so this is what the legislature said, use your discretion, but let's put the decisions out in the sunshine. Let's make sure that this is not happening behind closed doors as part of a larger budgeting process. Let's make sure that this is something we want as a whole community. And so the red letters on the slide is where I want to spend a little bit more time. So the first one is reduce the levels or types of services. And so for THP Plus, you know, the level, you know, that's pretty clear in terms of how much THP Plus we're providing, or types. I think within that definition, if there was a radical reconfiguration of what this program is, that would likely trigger this requirement. A few other words that are highlighted, you know, open session. So again, that is not a closed session of the Board of Supervisors, but one that is open to the public as an action item. So again, that is has to be a duly noticed action item, so on the agenda of the Board of Supervisors, not kind of folded in a larger budgeting process. And duly noticed, I mean, these are all words that you know, but I'm pointing them out because the legislature really took care to make sure that that this program is cared for and that this program is watched over and that that the citizens of the state of California have an opportunity to weigh in. And so those are some of the kind of protective language that was entered to make sure that this is a open and robust conversation that we have before we make any decisions to change the investment in THP Plus at a local level. So we're going to go a little bit farther, and so this is Senate Bill 1020. But you know, many of us in the child welfare world, you know, we look at ACLs and we like to know, you know, what ACL says what. And so, just for your purpose, this next slide is how DSS, they issued an ACL on realignment, a very comprehensive ACL, ACL 1244. And on page 6, this ACL was on THP Plus, excuse me, it wasn't the whole realignment one, they restate it. And so, you know, if you're looking for it as a county person, like where's the ACL, where's the statute, here, the previous slide is where it is in statute, this slide is where it is in the all county letter. And essentially it's essentially the same. I think one thing that the statute is a little bit clearer about is that this is about funding, that a significant reduction shall include a 10% reduction in funding in 1 year or a cumulative 25% reduction. And so there you go. So now that we know what the letter of the law and the letter of the ACL say, that's, you know, when we actually were very pleased to see this language because we thought, well, that's a done deal, right? There's a state requirement to have this conversation kind of we're done, right? Well, it actually was not that simple at all. We had a hard time, you know, as people who have the luxury of having a lot of time to think about this program, when many of you out there, public administrators, you're managing 15 programs. As nonprofit providers, this is one of 8 programs you operate. And yet we, as people who have the luxury of this time, had a hard time wrapping our heads around this. Like, how does this really get operationalized at the county level? And so, you know, part of the mission of today's call is to try and do that for you. So what does that mean? So let's take it to the next step. So what it means is the funding for the THP Plus program that was distributed to the counties under realignment. So what is that money? So as part of realignment, a little under $35 million in THP Plus funding was distributed to 58 counties. And if you want to see how it was distributed, or if you want to read a long, interesting county fiscal letter, there is the citation right there, and you can do it. And, you know, really, DSS and the state generally had the task of, you know, allocating or distributing all of these funds to the counties, funds that used to have funding formulas at the state level. Now, were distributed to counties. So you might be asking, so what in the world was this distribution based on? And it, for THP Plus, it's very simple. It was based on the historical spending of the counties. And so the distribution was really based on fiscal year 2010-11 rates and allocation. And that those rates and allocation can be found in ACL 1103. And that's a perfectly rational approach. You know, some may have issues around equity, like why does a small county have more money than a big county? But the bottom line is, over time, different counties stepped up and aggressively implemented this program. Others didn't. And so the kind of rationale was, let's not upset the apple cart. Let's kind of keep this funding distributed as it has been historically. And that is, you know, it's not perfect, but nothing ever is. And so, you know, there's the rationale. And so then there were 5 counties, it was very interesting, that had never implemented THP Plus, but they also received part of our distribution, part of the THP Plus distribution. And then they were allocated 2 beds per county. So that is, in a nutshell, what it is. And so let's kind of pause there. It's always hard to know kind of what level of comprehension is going on, because, you know, we're talking into a telephone. And, you know, normally in an audience, you'll start to see people screwing up their face saying, I'm not getting it. So if you do have any questions or any information you want clarified, we'd really be happy to clarify them now. And if we don't, I'd be happy to move on. One question we have gotten, and we should have clarified at the beginning, is the PowerPoint will be posted online. The presentation is being recorded, and we're also available afterwards to answer any questions. So let's just pause there for a minute. So if anyone doesn't understand kind of anything so far, you can chime in. Okay. Great. Well, thanks. You know, we never know if we're quite hitting the mark. So we have our $34.928 million. And so what does that mean by county? You know, it's never easy or pretty to list all 58 counties in one place. So we just said, forget, it's not going to be graphically pleasant. Let's just give the information. And so what you have here is the funding by county that was distributed under realignment. So, you know, as you can see, the, you know, and this is based on the historical utilization of the program. So I'm just going to give you a chance to kind of look at that. And then you see some counties with different colors. So the counties in red are the counties that had never implemented THP Plus, and yet were given a THP Plus allocation, and, you know, kind of the expectation they'd implement 2 beds. And then the blue The blue ones are counties actually that do not operate THP Plus. They have they initially operated it, but they've stopped operating it. So those are kind of question marks a little bit, but by and large, the purpose of this slide is for you to understand kind of what the fiscal baseline is for your county. So if we go back to those requirements and we say, so what's the deal here, Amy? You said that a significant reduction is what? So the language for that, you know, once again, is, and I'll come back, is a significant reduction is a 10% reduction in funding in 1 year or a cumulative 25% reduction over the previous 3 years. And so that 10% and that 25% is applied to these figures. And so that's the gold standard. That's the real, that's before, this is important to emphasize, before a decision to reduce at those levels can occur, the Board of Supervisors hearing must occur. It can't happen after the fact. It can't happen to rationalize a decision at the end of a budget cycle. It has to happen before the fact. So before, so that's just important for everyone to know. So again, this seems pretty straightforward and not really very complicated. And so let's take it down another level. Because truthfully, most of us don't operate in these budget numbers, particularly providers who are on the call. You have a contract with the county. You probably have an expectation to serve a certain number of young people for a certain rate. And the reason why we want to bring a higher level of clarity to it so that you as county administrators and as nonprofit providers can become aware if there may be a service level reduction occurring locally. And so the next step we're going to take it is we're going to translate this funding into actual beds per county. And so here's what you're looking at there. This is essentially a baseline, a baseline number of beds per county. So again, a 10% reduction in this, a 25% reduction over 3 years. The most durable number is the budget number. But again, based on the allocation for the fiscal year 10-11, that allocated the state budget for THP Plus, it said, here's how much money you get, county, and here's how many beds that is to operate. So this is one indicator. It's not as real as the financial one, but essentially, this is how many beds that funding translates into. And how about for rate? Because we know essentially, all a budget is a combination of how many beds and for what rate. And so we'll look at that next. And so this is what that amount, the monthly rate that translates into. And so we're sharing that information so that you, as local county administrators and local providers, can get a sense of what is occurring locally. And so you can know whether either intentionally or unintentionally you may be experiencing a service level reduction which may require the involvement of your Board of Supervisors to actually authorize so that you're in compliance with this state law that requires you to have this publicly noticed open session of a Board of Supervisors meeting to make this decision. Rather than backing into it and saying, wow, we didn't even realize we were doing this. We didn't even realize we reduced the service level. So a question just kind of came in and it says, what are these asterisks on the screen? And I'm glad you raised that. One of the reasons why we are sharing this information, because it's pretty straightforward, like if I'm the THP Plus provider in Kern County, I know how much the county gets, I know how many kids, what the baseline number of kids to be served was, and I know what the rate is. So I'm not too concerned that I'm going to accidentally go below 10% because there's only one provider. The complexity of knowing this gets much greater when you're in a county with multiple providers. We've always encouraged to have a regular meeting between the county representative and the providers so there can be a shared collective understanding about the status of the program in the county. But sometimes that doesn't happen for a lot of good reasons. You know, counties like LA are geographically vast. It's not so easy to just pull everyone together at the drop of a hat. And so when there are multiple providers in one county, it can become harder to know whether or not, I know that my service level has gone down, but maybe that bed capacity is going to some other provider. Or, you know, maybe my service level has gone down, but someone else's rate was increased. So we can't, for those counties in particular, the counties that have the stars, you know, that the answer to whether we're reducing service level capacity can't be made just by, very simply, by knowing one provider. It has to be made by looking at all of the providers together and understanding what they're contracted to do, for what rate, and for how, and with the expectation of serving how many young people. So we're getting a few questions in, and let's just pause here. And again, let's take a moment to see if we can answer some of them. So there's a question about where does the bed capacity come from? Where does that number come from? That number comes from, first we start with the budget. This is the realigned, this is the amount of the THP plus budget that has been distributed to counties as an element of realignment. So again, in the old days, pre-realignment, the state issued an allocation. We all remember those ACLs where the state told each county, based on your county plan, this is your budget, and this is the number of young people that you stated you were going to serve. And so based on that historical information, this is the amount of money that was allocated to counties. And that is in the ACL that's listed on the previous page, not just the dollar amount, but also the bed capacity. So if you take the amount that was allocated and you reduce it slightly because the amount of money that was distributed to counties through realignment is slightly smaller, that is where you get the bed capacity. So we're hearing a little bit of something funny on the line, but we'll just kind of keep going. I wish I could be a little bit clearer, but essentially this is the, on that ACL is the number of, is the budget and is the number of beds. And then the rate is gotten by simply taking the total budget number by the number of beds and dividing it by 12. So pretty straightforward. But what's important to note before I hand it over to Simone is counties have the discretion to do what they want to do. They may say, we want to serve more young people at a lower rate. We want to serve fewer young people at a higher rate. The number you see in this chart and this rate, those are not locked into statute. What's locked in is the budget number. The bed number and the rate number are more just ways of you locally to try and get a sense if something might be changing. Because you're all busy people, you're doing a lot of different things, and it's not a very transparent process. So these are proxies for potential changes in service level reduction. So to try to bring this to life, I'm going to hand it over to Simone, and she's going to talk about some possible symptoms of reductions in service levels, things as county administrators and providers that you want to keep your eyes out for in terms of what might indicate that we are intentionally or unintentionally reducing THP plus service levels in our county.
connection is good.
No.
Okay.
Okay, Simone's just joining us in just a moment.
Okay, sorry about that. We had a little technical difficulties with the phones. So just to kind of sum up here, Amy has taken on the very challenging task of kind of explaining something that I think is very complicated because there's so many levels to it. And, you know, she's giving you kind of a detailed picture of what's happening overall with realignment and THP Plus, and then kind of taking us down piece by piece into these kind of into these weeds that affect providers and counties on a local level. And Amy and I were talking yesterday, and we just think it's a challenging thing to translate into what this looks like on the ground. And so this call is really, you know, an attempt to do that, to make that translation. But we know that that doesn't necessarily mean that everyone's going to leave the call with, you know, a really acute understanding because, like Amy said, we put a lot of time into really understanding this and looking at it and breaking it down. And so we always are happy to do follow-up and answer questions that people have, and we really do encourage you to submit questions so that this can be more of a call or a conversation or to raise your hand so we can unmute you and you can ask the question directly. So, Amy, if you want to advance the next slide. There we go. So these are what we decided to call symptoms, and we call them symptoms because they're good indicators of something that could be happening, but you have to kind of look into them further to know if they really are indicating that there is a service reduction. And so really what these symptoms mean are that, you know, a conversation is warranted between the county and the provider, or the providers and the county and the county administrator. And really, you know, another piece to just take away from this call is it's just so increasingly important for counties and providers to really work hand in hand. You know, the state is out of the picture with realignment, so it's really in the hands of local, you know, county people, providers, to really control what's happening with THP Plus in your county. So we're going to look at a few scenarios that give you on the ground examples of how these symptoms could play out. And so we'll start with just the reduction in contracted bed capacity and what that could mean, what that would look like. Okay, so basically in this scenario, basically this would be the number of beds written into a contract between a county agency and a nonprofit provider. And if that contracted number of beds has gone down by 10% or more, from that county's baseline capacity, this is likely a scenario where a conversation is necessary. It could really mean a number of things, though. It doesn't necessarily mean, oh my goodness, you know, our county has reduced, you know, by 10% or more. It could mean that, so we need to look into it. There are other possible explanations for this. It could be, you know, your county may be contracted with another provider, so that your former capacity is then transferring over to that provider. So, you know, one thing to do is look at your rate. Maybe your county is perhaps lowering your bed capacity but paying you a higher rate per use because maybe they are deciding that they would really like to see, you know, higher needs youth served in the county, and maybe that's going to require a higher rate. And again, these things can be very a lot more easily addressed, you know, by just maintaining good communication and having conversations about this. So I just want to also bring this back a bit. Remember, the key is not whether or not the money is being spent on the key is about whether or not the money is being spent on THP Plus. It's not just about maintaining bed capacity. It's about that overall budget. And so I just want to point out that, you know, like Amy mentioned, some counties operate at a level that's above their baseline service capacity, and we also got some questions about this. You know, people are saying, well, where did this number come from? Or maybe, you know, that's not what my bed capacity is. You know, we've had this bed capacity for years. So some counties are operating at, you know, a higher bed capacity than what's written into their baseline service level, and some may be operating at less, and that's definitely something to look into because you want to make sure that you're not in violation without even knowing, you know, without even knowing it. And so for these counties, you know, it wouldn't just be a 10% service reduction from the current level. It would be necessary to see whether the reduction is a 10% service reduction from the baseline in your county. So that's why, again, it's so important to look at the list that we posted earlier with the different funding amounts, with the rate, with the amount of beds. And those lists will be available, obviously, through looking through this presentation, which will be available on the website, but we'll also post those separately, like under the resources section or something like that, on the THP Plus website. And then, obviously, all this information was extracted from ACLs, county fiscal letters, from statutes, so it's all referenced in the presentation. And so back to this example, if you look at the actual example on the slide, it shows you how quickly or how easily a 10% reduction can kind of slip through the cracks. There are a lot of providers, like if you look at LA has several providers, but they operate maybe with 12 beds or something like that, and then you have a county like Riverside or San Bernardino that has one provider but a really large number of beds. And so there's really a range of what that looks like. So for a county that, or, you know, you could look at a small county that they have one provider who only has, you know, 8 beds. So if you look at this in the kind of the viewpoint of being a smaller provider, it's a 10% reduction is not that much. It can be a couple of beds. In some cases, it could be one bed. And you want to think about the fact that county agencies have so many different programs that they're managing. So, you know, losing a bed in THP Plus or 2 beds in THP Plus, I can completely see how that would slip off someone's radar and, again, you know, wouldn't even realize that they were in violation. So it's so important for counties to obviously be aware of this and for providers to be aware of this and, again, just to work hand in hand on this. For a county with 12 beds, you know, losing 2 beds is a 17% reduction. So, you know, this county could lose 1 bed because that would only be a 0.8% reduction, but if they lost 2, it would be a higher than 10% reduction. But, you know, for a large county with, say, 80 beds, a 10% reduction would be reducing capacity from 80 to 72. So it looks very different depending on kind of the landscape in your county. And again, you know, just to reiterate, you know, if your county has multiple providers like LA, San Diego, Santa Clara, Alameda, we know this gets a bit more complicated because, you know, let's say you have 4 providers and each provider has a reduced capacity by 2 beds, you know, that altogether adds up to 10% for the entire county. And so this, again, just illustrates the importance of, you know, being in communication with your fellow THP Plus providers and with your county. Amy, let's go to the next slide. So here we have another scenario, and this describes a reduction in the monthly THP Plus rate a provider is being paid. So if you notice as a provider that the rate in your contract has dropped from the baseline rate in your county, and again, this doesn't necessarily mean it's the rate you're being paid right now, it's the baseline rate, so you need to look at that. This should raise a red flag that, you know, again, it warrants a conversation between the county and the provider to really understand what's happening. It doesn't necessarily mean services are being reduced. Maybe your county is attempting to serve a higher number of youth, so they're lowering the rate. But it's something to look at. You know, we recently have been working, as you guys, most of you know, on the THP Plus annual report, which is really exciting this year. It's the first year that THP Plus foster care is going to be included. I'm very excited about it. And in talking with counties and providers, I am hearing that some counties are moving to, you know, different ways of managing rates as a result of realignment. And so I am hearing, excuse me, I apologize for my voice, I'm a bit under the weather. I am hearing that, you know, some rates are dropping, but it's not, you know, it's not malicious. It's a county is trying to serve a higher number of youth because maybe the county next to them has reduced their capacity and there's a need. There's a local need for more slots for THP Plus youth, and so they're trying to figure out a way to compensate, and so they're trying to get creative, and in getting creative, they are reducing the rate. Unfortunately, the problem with that is that it can reduce the quality of services. or maybe they're increasing the rate, and you know they're serving less youth at a higher level. So there's so many things that could be happening, but again, it's important to look into. The next scenario, there we go, is it's a more passive way that a county service level may be kind of winding down, and it's actually not an unlikely scenario. I also, in talking with providers and counties, I'm hearing these types of sentiments. And I'll kind of speak to this in a minute, but in this scenario, the contracted number of beds has not changed, but beds aren't being filled. And, you know, we hear about this a lot. Maybe a provider has a contract for 10 beds, but only 4 were filled. You know, why is that? What's going on? And like I said, in speaking with providers and counties regarding the annual report, you know, this was something that came up. And really what we can attribute it to this year is really the existence of THP Plus foster care and extended foster care. You know, referrals may be slowing down for THP Plus because many youth are taking advantage of extended foster care, which is fabulous. And many of the youth who would have entered THP Plus a few years ago are now entering THP Plus foster care. And so kind of simultaneously, another thing we're seeing, and we'll discuss this in depth during next month's webinar, on the annual report, is that older and more high-needs youth are entering THP Plus. So THP Plus is actually managing to reach youth that are at higher risk of homelessness, which is evident because many of them are actually transitioning straight from homelessness into THP Plus. And we know that getting youth like this in your program is challenging. It's not as easy as getting a referral from a social worker, you know, for an 18-year-old who's aging out of care, and they go to THP Plus. That's not really the common practice anymore because those youth are staying in the system, staying in care. And so the youth that are taking up THP Plus beds, they're actually, it's great because they're a really high needs group of youth who otherwise would be homeless. And I just think that, you know, together these two programs are doing a really good job, but that's another conversation. So what this means is that, you know, a county may not be handing out as many referrals to THP Plus in your county because of THP Plus foster care, but also on the provider end, you may not be doing enough outreach in the community. There are definitely counties who are getting this and are successfully serving that harder-to-reach population who really need services in THP Plus. But I'm sure there are also counties out there that are kind of saying, well, what's happening here? Where are THP Plus youth? They're there, but you may not be getting them in the same way you used to. And so if your beds aren't being filled, you know, it's not like pointing the finger at the county, why aren't you giving us referrals? It's a hand-in-hand thing to work together with your county and to really do outreach to get to those other youth that are in need that aren't kind of the most accessible, we'll say. And so just kind of to sum this all up, these scenarios, you know, the key thing to really pull from these are that county administrators and providers need to work hand in hand. You know, with realignment, the state is essentially out of the picture, and so is, you know, state level advocacy, and maintaining these programs is really in the hands of those at the local level. And we know that communication is the key to making that work. So I'm actually going to pass it back over to Amy now to kind of wrap things up with this topic.
Thanks, Simone. One clarification I want to put in about this last scenario around, you know, we're just not getting the referrals. We're still contracted for the same number of beds at the same rate, but that does not exempt a county from this administrative process that's outlined in law. It's like, well, we only spent, you know, our budget's $400,000. We only spent $300,000. We just want a budget for $300,000. That's the demand. It does not remove that requirement to, if there's that service reduction, for that decision to be affirmed in a, you know, publicly noticed open session of the Board of Supervisors as an action item. So just a clarification there. So kind of where do we go from here? And so here's just some next steps that we would recommend. And the first one is making sure that everyone is clear about how much money, and I'm sure the county people are very clear about this. I mean, this is part of the administrative process that went to each county through realignment, and that's there's no ambiguity about that.
Now, that is not etched in stone. I mean, there is a legal authority for the state to change that, but it's not likely. I mean, that pretty much is what you've got. We've hit the high mark of THP plus likely as a state, you know. So know what that number is the first step. And then second, understand what it means. A budget number is just a budget number, but the more meaningful metric is what does it mean in our county in terms of beds and rates. And between the providers in your county, you should pretty much be able to multiply your rate times the number of beds that are contracted times 12, and it should be that number. It's not that complicated. But understand what it is. And there may have been examples, well, wow, we just kind of somehow, you know, accidentally, you know, stopped serving as many young people for this reason or the other. I mean, we know from our presentation there's at least four counties that have discontinued the program altogether. Now, they probably maybe don't know about this state requirement, but, you know, so it's obviously there's a lot going on. There's a lot of changes and realignment, and we want to make sure that the decision-making is informed and collaborative. The next thing I'd really encourage is that you're clear about the state law requiring any decision to significantly reduce. People, you know, we've talked to more than one county who's like, I didn't know about that. And I know in my heart that that's a genuine truth. I mean, our policy environment is changing so fast and so furiously. Despite the fact that counties don't get any more staff, we keep passing laws. And so staying on top of this is almost impossible. And so let's work together collaboratively. Let's not make just sure that the THP plus county liaison knows, but let's march it all the way up to our leadership so that you're not in a position where, you know, someone's telling a member of your board of supervisors you're breaking the law, because that's not where any of us want to be. Although that will be potentially a step that we'll take and maybe even have taken if down the road that these reductions happen without the process going on. And then lastly, it's, again, as Simone said, it's an ongoing conversation. Meet regularly. Monitor the service level, and the service level being the number of young people served, the rate that's paid, and the budget. And make sure that, you know, counties, again, the discretion is yours. You are in the catbird seat. You have the discretion to say, you know what, we're going all in on extended foster care. We want to turn our THP plus distribution, and we want to draw down federal funds. And I could see there's maybe even a case for that being a strategic decision, but it has to be made in accordance to this process. And we need to give our whole community an opportunity to chime in on the pros of that, the cons of that, and just make sure it's a decision we're making together. And so that's what we would encourage. And, you know, we've really done our best to not to be as clear as humanly possible. You know, we have 58 counties. They're very different. And so we hope that, you know, we've steered through the middle to offer information that you can, again, the next step is the local conversation that needs to happen. But from here, let's turn it. We're getting a number of questions, and let's pause here and answer some questions and just some comments. So here's a comment. It says, does this conversation mean that there might not be THP plus in 3 years? And so the answer to that is really it depends on what your county chooses to do. That is certainly an option for your county. If your county has the discretion next year to eliminate the program, it also has the option, frankly, under realignment, to use funds to increase the program. But yeah, absolutely, that is, and that's one of the reasons why we're having this conversation, is so that everyone is clear about the level of local discretion. And so what we encourage is just the robust, active conversation. If you're a county person and you're feeling it's like, you know, there's now extended foster care, that means UTHP Plus providers that may have a different point of view may want to and may need to help make the case for this program. And that's, you know, something at the John Burton Foundation, we are very much in support of helping you. So then here's a comment from someone. It says, a lot of AB12 kids will start turning 21 pretty soon, so THP Plus should get a boost. I don't see it going away. That's absolutely a valid point of view. We've long emphasized that there are young people, parenting youth with physical and mental disabilities, and youth who simply don't qualify. But those are categories of young people who would really benefit from THP Plus. But, you know, it doesn't really matter what I think. What matters is what your county board of supervisors think. And so to the extent that if you haven't built a relationship with them, if you haven't started the conversation, there's no better time to start making the case that there's a rationale for a continuum. So again, what I think is irrelevant. It's what you as local counties think and how you want to work together to answer these questions. Another great question that came through, someone said, wow, the rates vary so much. I didn't realize the rate for my county was so low. And you are right, there is a high level of variability in THP Plus rates, and we've seen that. We've done an annual report on the program for, this is going to be our seventh one, and the rates vary from, you know, per county as low as like $1,100 to over $3,000 per youth per month. And, you know, that really that's a matter between the county and the provider. And, you know, some of these programs are serving youth with complex needs and offering a service model that's much more comprehensive. You know, other ones are not. And what's also important to note is those average rates are the average of the three different model types, you know, the scattered site, the single site, and the host. And so some of these counties have a host family model, and when a county has the host family model, that really brings the average down. So it's important not just to look at the number, but to look at what is the provider being contracted for. But that being said, there are absolutely providers who are offering the same thing that are getting different rates. So I'm not, that's a reality too. You know, and that could be a product of regional cost differences. It could be a product of a lot of different things. But it's a conversation that has to happen locally. And so what can you do? Here's another question, and we'll just take a few more of these, and then we'll wrap up, because I know this call has been a lot more kind of dense than some of the other ones. It says, we have the right allocation amount. However, we are not serving 17 youth. We're serving 15 because we're serving more scattered site than usual, and scattered site is more expensive. Would that be an issue? I guess what I would say about that kind of comment slash question is you don't want to look at your moment in time service level like this month. You want to really look at what is the plan for the fiscal year. You know, as the county sets forth its plan in conversation with you, you know, you may have 15 one month, you may have 12. I mean, I have operated one of these programs, and I know that there's a lot of variables that determine how many young people are in housing in a moment in time. But you need to step back and say, okay, but as a county, how many beds are we contracted for and what rate? And that should be a number that, when multiplied, you know, comes out to the budget total. And if it comes out to less than 10%, hopefully there was the Board of Supervisors meeting to make that decision. So one question is, can you please direct me to the ACL that kind of indicates the number of beds? And we absolutely will send that out. But what I want to highlight about that, so what that was is the all-county letter, it was the allocation for THP Plus for fiscal year 10-11. Now, that number is not what every county is on the hook for maintaining. What counties are on the hook for maintaining is the budget amount. And so the budget amount is the number of beds times the rate. And so you may go to that ACL, and that number may be lower or higher than what your county's doing. And that may reflect a programmatic change that you've made. You may say, well, we're not serving 10, we're serving 8, but we've chosen to increase our rate. And so we actually haven't had a reduction in service level. So again, the holy grail is the budget amount, and the bed level and the rate are just proxies. They're not absolutes, and that's what makes this more complicated. So another comment is, isn't there consideration underway currently to make a flat rate for THP Plus? And I think the person who emailed that in is probably on the work group. So yes, there is. There is a work group that would establish a flat THP Plus rate, and that's in part due to the fact that there is so much variability, and it's kind of based in the concern that we want to make sure that there is a baseline level of service that's provided through this program. And so the work group is looking at the THPP rate and the THP Plus rate. It's been largely occupied with the THPP rate, but it will, you know, then be turning its attention to the THP Plus rate. And when and if that happens, it makes it a lot easier to monitor on the local level because we know what the flat rate will be. And, you know, so it's not rocket science to figure out whether the service level reduction has occurred. In the current environment, it is more complicated because knowing that budget number, you know, within large, complex county agencies, some counties are very into transparency and all their budget documents are on their website and it's super clear. And then other counties, you know, don't maybe have the capacity to do that. That's why we're trying to offer these proxies for the service level. Let me just do one more question, then we will move on. I guess one last thing is to really just a comment. And the comment, I'll kind of paraphrase, which is, you know, how am I supposed to advocate for the continuation of this program when I'm a contracted provider of the county? They're trying to communicate that there's a bit of a conflict of interest. They feel like this puts them in a difficult position to, but you know, what I would say to that is the success of this program around the state has been due to the collaboration. You know, the strongest advocates, you know, potentially for this program have been our county liaisons, the people in the counties who completed those county plans and who made the case for THP Plus, you know, for some time. And so I think it's very important that we work together to make this case and that we see that it's in the larger interests of the county. Now that being said, there's still going to be some, you know, there's going to be differences of opinion for sure. And when that occurs, you know, you maybe can't stay together and you have to do what you've got to do to get your point across. But it would be wonderful to try and work together on the county level so that we can send a shared message about the value of the program. So kind of from there, I think we don't want to beat a dead horse. We just have a few more items. So the next month's call is going to be a webinar on the annual report. So the annual report is going to include THP Plus and THP Plus foster care. And it goes a little bit more into realignment. We have really done our best to try and determine the truth. The big aha of the annual report, I'll give you a preview, is a lot of counties are serving more youth. A lot of counties under realignment have chosen to say, hey, let's serve more youth. So, you know, you might say, well, why are you guys so worried about service level reduction if what your survey is finding is that even more youth are served? And as we've shared, you know, throughout our work in this, we're really concerned about realignment in the long run. It's not the first year. It's not the fifth year. It's the 10th year when this funding could become very jeopardized. So in that web seminar, it's going to replace our regular call. We'll be presenting the findings in terms of how many youth were served, what the rates are for different counties. And unfortunately, there are counties where it looks like either advertently or inadvertently the service reduction level has dropped. We know that has occurred in the four or five counties that have discontinued their programs altogether. You know, and for those counties, we have to start, you know, we have to just ask the question, where do we go from there? I mean, what happens? What happens if they don't have a program and they have a distribution? I mean, clearly that's something that, you know, the legislature didn't intend. That's certainly something of interest to DSS, I would expect. But for the rest of the counties, you're up and operational, you're serving young people in your program, and as a statewide community, you're actually serving more young people, which is very exciting. All right. So one thing Simone's telling me is you do need to register separately for this web seminar, so we will make sure that there's a link there. And then one very last item is on our last call, I messed up the poll. We talked about whether we wanted to change this regular time. Right now it's the second Thursday of the month, but we believe there's a large county with that has requested that we change the time so that they can participate and that their providers can participate. So I think Simone is going to do a poll, and if you could all just indicate briefly what time works best for you. It's not the most scientific. My inclination is all things being equal not to change it, but if there's a time that we can accommodate everyone, we would certainly be happy to do that. So the poll is in progress according to Simone. Okay, you have 10 more seconds to vote, just to make sure that we find the right time. Okay. So, yes, it looks like overwhelmingly we're going to keep it where we've got it. So thanks for checking in on that. Someday I'll actually figure this out. So again, we hope we've not stirred it up too much. It's always there's always a tension between, you know, how do we disseminate information and communicate things in a way that respects and appreciates the different vantage points of a lot of different stakeholders in this program. And again, the real conversation is now needs to occur at the local level. And so with that, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the web seminar. We are going to post these materials, and we absolutely welcome any feedback, positive or negative. You know, our intention is to be a constructive, you know, part of this conversation. And if we're not hitting the tone right, we're happy to hear that. We're happy to get that feedback as well. So thanks again, everyone, and we hope you'll join us for next month when we share the findings from the annual report.